Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Three analytics pros and the occasional guest discussing digital analytics issues of the day. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/analytics hour. And now, the Digital Analytics Power Hour.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. This is episode 2. I'm Michael Helbling, I'm the Director of Analytics at Search Discovery here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm joined by my hosts, Tim Wilson, partner at Web Analytics Demystified. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Michael.
And also joined by Jim Kane, double CEO of Napkin and Babbage Systems. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Michael.
Jim and Tim, we're here to discuss something that is controversial in our space. And what's so crazy about it being controversial is that everybody uses them, and we're talking about dashboards. So it's strange, right? Something so fundamental to the practice of digital analytics could be thought of in so many different ways by so many different people, right? There's a lot of utility and things like that. People say you can use dashboards to garner insights. And so let's dig into this topic, right? Whatever happens, hopefully someone will leave offended. All right, so let's jump into it. Why don't we start with you, Jim? Why don't we get your definition of a dashboard?
Well, that's an interesting one. And you know, as I was kind of doing some of my prep and research and talking with my team, it's one of those weird words. It's like, what is a dashboard? What does the color blue smell like? Like, it's one of those hyper vague, it means something specific in a different way to lots of different people. And we actually had 2 days of training a couple weeks ago with one of the gentlemen who works with Stephen Few, who's written some of the books on dashboards. And the first hour of the training session was like the who's on first, because he would say, a dashboard is this, and my staff would say, no, it's not.
So clearly your staff is wrong. So
let's move on then.
Anyway, now that I've proven myself to know nothing, let's see what's in. But, it's interesting because the way that we look at a dashboard includes a lot of the key things that any dashboard would have. It's at a glance. It's highly relevant to the driver of the reporting. It's accurate.
When you say the driver of the reporting, you mean the person who's consuming it or the person who's creating it?
The consumer. So when you make a dashboard truly relevant to somebody and they get it on Monday morning or every morning or whenever they require it, they get an at a glance view of kind of the heads up display of the things that they care about. The training that we got from Stephen Few's organization, the emphasis was that's not a dashboard, that's a report. So don't call it a dashboard. And a dashboard, in their opinion, is something that is real time. And a real-time dashboard means something very different. It supports very different kinds of decisions and information. So, the vocabulary is extremely interesting. Like, I'm almost wondering if we're going to move away from calling a lot of our kind of core assets dashboards and starting to call them corporate performance reporting.
Well, I think you're because I worship at the feet of Stephen Few, and maybe I just then. I interpret what he says. I wouldn't have said that anything. Well, I think almost by definition, he's not saying real time because he works with, Tableau and Excel and shows things that are static. So, and again, in some of the prep, and maybe it's worth reading off, because I don't disagree with you on the at a glance or the relevant to the consumer. And I think you actually said performance. That's to me the key word that when I say what is a dashboard for or what's a dashboard good at, I always come back to it's for performance measurement. It's not, I think you and your interpretation of Stephen Few, as well as what Stephen Few literally says, it all hinges on performance. It is not a everything to everybody, which is where I feel like marketers and some analysts and some technology vendors try to position it. Let me read Stephen Few's definition, or the definition from the one of his favorite book of mine, which is Information Dashboard Design. people's understanding of what a dashboard is ranges widely. We need to make it clear to the dashboard's future users that it provides a means to rapidly monitor performance. It is not a report that they'll use to look up information from time to time. It is not a tool for exploring and analyzing data. It is an information display that will keep them aware of what's going on in their specific realm of concern.
So that seems like to me that that would encompass more than just real time based on that description.
That's what I think, because I think a weekly dashboard or even a monthly dashboard, but the core part being that it's, and I wonder if like the looking up information from time to time, that time to time, I don't know if that's where some of the even the confusion around his language is falling, that it can be a reference point, but.
Yeah, but usually the dashboard, let's say you want to figure out what happened, you know, 4.5 months ago. I don't know that you jump to that dashboard. You probably jump to some other report in your ecosystem, right?
But I mean,
if yeah. It's me.
The way it was described to us is that, you know, even though there's a lot of commonality in terms of design and how you approach kind of the consumption or the presentation layer of a piece of work, a dashboard is real time. A standardized report is like a dashboard, but it is not a real-time delivery. And then an ad hoc report is a onesie, ask a question, get an answer. And all three of them, when you do them right, have a lot of things in common. But they're designed to support very different kinds of work.
Yeah, but see, so this is the thing is, if I think about a real-time report, I'm kind of shooting from the hip here, but that just screams data exploration, right, to me. Like, I need to be able to look at that and kind of break things down and kind of figure out why right on the spot of what's happening right this second. So if that's all that a dashboard is, I mean, that directly comes in conflict with what they defined it as in the book. So I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to disagree with Stephen Few. Stephen Few, if you ever listen to this, please understand how high regard we hold you in. but at the same time, like, I also want to say, like, well, how do we use dashboards, really? Like, the three of us. Is this how we use them? Because I'll be honest with you, like, in the frame of digital analytics, how often are we leveraging real-time data? And do we see it being something super useful?
See, it's funny. That's why I brought it up. And I certainly don't want to pigeonhole the conversation around vocabulary. It's just it's interesting that, you know, if you were to pick up the phone and call someone.
This is a show about dashboards, so the conversation's getting pigeonholed. All right.
So. I don't want to get totally cornered on the vocab, though. It's just, you know, because I work mostly with senior decision makers. And so when I talk to them about what a dashboard means, their description will be wildly different than if I'm talking to an email marketing manager or someone in the web operations group, like people who are more looking at either very hyper-focused or very real-time kind of reporting. So when I think dashboard, I think regularly provisioned against a schedule corporate performance reporting. And that's how I do it. I actually think real-time dashboards, once you go high up in an organization, are just analysis paralysis. I'm not sure how someone would use them.
Well, but I think, so real time, we're going to hit like 7 of my hot buttons. One, real time is, there's sort of two reasons to have real time. One is I'm going to sit there, I'm going to watch the data constantly, minute in, minute out, act on it. And people act like they're going to do that, and it just doesn't happen. Real time from a minimal latency. I don't know if I'm going to look at this on a Monday or a Wednesday, but I don't want to be stuck and pigeonholed that I'm only having data through Sunday. But the fact is, if you have a cadence going where you can say, I can only really act on a weekly cycle, so I'm going to look at this once a week and I'm not going to obsess with it. But I think to your point of a senior level executive versus an email marketer versus a web operations, those are just different dashboard,
yeah.
But the,
yeah.
the need to say at a glance, you know, relevant to the consumer. So the exact same thing still apply, just at a different level or with a different scope or a different focus.
Well, here's the thing. So what I really want us to be able to deliver to folks listening is something specific that they can look at their organization or how they leverage dashboards or standardized reports if they need to redefine it that way and say, I should consider this as one aspect. So I've heard some things that I think are key, right? Is one is considering the audience, right? We've talked around that. We've also mentioned cadence, right? So how often? So let's dig into those two things a little bit. How often should a dashboard be produced for an executive, let's say, somebody who's kind of managing the entire digital or, you know, a major piece of it?
So I mean, my answer is it should be produced at roughly the same cycle with which you're able to react. And the reason is that if you don't, say you're producing it weekly, but it takes you, best case, 2 weeks to actually make a change that might impact anything on the dashboard. If you kind of line up, if you lay out the timelines and say, I looked on Monday and this was bad, and so I thought about it and dug into it for a week, and then on Friday we made it, can't make a change until 2 weeks later. Well, I'm still going to get another view of the dashboard the next Monday, and I haven't actually made any changes yet. So there's this very real risk of you're actually measuring at a greater frequency than you can impact a result, and you start heading down the path of, yeah, you know what? We've identified this as a problem because the dashboard says it is. It's going to suck on the next dashboard and the dashboard after that.
So maybe I'll chip in along with the temporal piece by saying I like weekly. So when we take a client under management, we require at least a weekly dashboard. Depending, again, on the goals for corporate performance reporting, sometimes we'll also do a monthly and a quarterly. We have a customer that is currently doing twice daily, and we won't touch it because it's analysis paralysis. It's a Z drive report. Everybody gets it, and they say, yeah, I read it. No one looks at it.
Yeah.
And we have one customer who does daily reporting. This is a gigantic e-commerce company, and they do like 70% of their revenue in like 6 weeks. We're right in the middle of what they would call their holiday of the season, capital S. Every single morning they look at that report, year over year and against corporate forecast. And the C-suite makes decisions on what levers in the business to pull. In that case, hyper relevant, because like Tim said earlier, if it's not actionable, it's not worth it, you know?
Right. Well, but then you also run into the situation where different aspects of your digital are actionable at different time frames, right? So, you know, maybe I can't change my website in a week, but I can certainly call up my search marketing agency and have them modify spend today, right?
And actionable dashboard is kind of another, like, sets my gets the hairs on the back of my neck standing up a little bit, because I think there's an expect, because when I'll hear that, and there's sort of two things I hear from, it tends to be more marketers, analysts sometimes as well, because they're pleasers, is, you know, this dashboard needs to be actionable. And I'm like, well, it doesn't. If the dashboard is actually showing you that you're hitting your targets and your goals, then to me, it's doing its job, and that's fine. You may see it six times in a row, and you look at it and say, we don't need to do anything. Then if you hit a point and you've got a KPI and it's below forecast, below target, below something, there's this, I feel like, naive expectation that the dashboard is going to tell you what to do. And it may be cases where you're e-commerce and it's a compressed 6 week thing and you already have teed up because you have to act operationally, you know which levers you are going to need to pull, throw more into paid search, you know, push some promotion somewhere, swap out your homepage. You have to be prepped and ready to make those changes and already know that if this number slips, this is how we're going to react. The reality with most of the clients I work with, that's not the case. They're going to see a problem, and they're going to say, what do I do to fix it? And that dashboard is not going to answer that question. That question is going to have to come from sitting down and saying, what might be causing the problem? I am now in ad hoc analysis, or as I will say till my grave, hypothesis validation land. And when the expectation is the dashboard is going to tell them this is down and here's what you need to do about it, I've never seen that actually be workable.
Yeah.
We're starting to move towards one of the places, Tim, where you and I mean, this is almost where the idea for these conversations came from, was you and I button heads over what a dashboard is, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I join you in that, because I think the what I need to do about it probably exists in the head of the person, because they bring in the rest of the context, right? Because they're like, oh, this number is down. Let me just drop through the five things that happen in our business that drive that number, and I'm going to now go look up those five things and see how they interacted with this metric movement.
Well, right? But there's a hope. There's sometimes I think marketers want that to be punted. They want to overscope what an analyst and what the data can do.
I don't think you can do that without really knowing the business.
And I would even say that an analyst who knows the deeper an analyst knows the business, and I think we talked about this on the last episode when Jim was kind of going through the more senior analysts, the more they're a marketer, the more they know the business, and they start to be equipped to maybe make recommendations, but generally they're still not as embedded in the strategy and the approach and the day-to-day. They didn't get the update from the agency that some feed, the product listing feed, broke for 3 days. But I don't know. So, Jim, so far, I feel like we've almost completely agreed on dashboard stuff.
But Jim has already teed it up for us. Here comes trouble.
Yeah, I know, right? Here comes trouble. I mean, I think that there's a difference between a standardized report and a dashboard, right? And so a lot of times I'll talk to someone and they'll go, I need to see this and this and this and this in this structure with this, you know, time frame for refresh. And we'll look at the numbers and it won't be actionable. It'll be what I call a report card. And the reason that people ask for report card reporting is for managing up. So if my boss doesn't see these numbers, and ideally they are all green, I'm going to get pulled into conference room B and my day is going to suck. So I need you to encapsulate the things that my boss cares about in a one-pager so I can put it in PowerPoint or just keep people off my back. And that's a report card. I try and avoid those at all costs. And a dashboard to me is actionable. So maybe what I'll do, and this is going to lead into the how many pages should be in a dashboard discussion, but you know,
that should not be a discussion. We all know it should be one page, right?
There will be name calling. I'm just going to, a little foreshadowing. When I build a dashboard or my team works with a stakeholder to build a dashboard, it's basically got to have, you know, five things in it in terms of the output. It needs to be hyper-relevant to that particular decision maker. And, you know, if we were to work with four VPs of digital, all of whom do roughly the same thing, you know, the executive summary page would have probably four different sets of KPIs. And they could be gross margin. They could be tied to corporate performance. But it needs to be hyper-relevant. We normally ask, how do you get paid your bonus? And that's a pretty good place to start in terms of making it hyper-relevant. Then the next two things that need to happen with a good dashboard is a combination of question removal and question creation. Because one of the things that we find when we're doing analysis on behalf of a company is that we get asked lots and lots and lots of the same questions over and over. You know, how'd the email do? Or what's going on with bounce rate? And if we can build something that, again, concisely, at a glance, and tied to performance, removes 95% of the questions that would normally get asked to the analyst, we win with that standard report or that dashboard. And the other piece is question creation. And I find that a really good dashboard, per what Tim was saying earlier, you know, it's not going to say, you had a bad sales day, and it's because you didn't promote this particular product enough. But a good dashboard will allow a seasoned executive to go, I understand what's happening, and now that I can see it all together, I have one or two really good questions that this dashboard informed. I couldn't have had them otherwise. And the last two elements of a good dashboard are about being able to manage down and manage up. So, you know, again, a great dashboard that brings things together and removes questions and helps you come up with new ones and lets you see performance against the way you get your bonus is going to give you the ability to better understand and manage your vendors, better understand and manage your staff and your campaigns. And ideally, it's also going to be, when it's that concise and that business relevant, something you can forward to your boss or your boss's boss and have them go, oh, I get it. I know where your budget goes now. You know, so it removes meetings.
Which of those am I supposed to disagree with?
Yeah, I'm struggling here as well.
So in order to pull that off, there's no executive summary one-page report in the world that's going to pull that off. And really, maybe that's the segue into the name calling.
Well, so I will hedge a little bit and say that one page is an ideal, and one page forces some level of prioritization. Like if you lay that out and say we're going to stick to one page, and then somebody comes in and says, yeah, I like all that, but you know what? I just want to see the top 20 pages on the site by these 7 metrics, and that I can't fit, or maybe these 3 metrics, I can't fit 20. That's going to blow my one page as it is. So you'll listen and you'll hear me say it now, but it's been said by hundreds of people, that the dashboard should be different based on who the audience is, which your hyper relevant says exactly that. Who is the primary audience for this dashboard? Okay, if the primary audience is this, you know, mid-level manager, then they don't need all the email, you know, all the emails that were sent last week and their open rate and click-through rate. That's for the email person. So I'm still like, to be hyper relevant, if it can't fit on a page, you know, one page, if they get it at a glance and it's what they need to know, I think answering the questions is where I do start to cheat. Sometimes I want to, you know, they want to see by channel, or they want to see some other thing that's not a KPI. And it may start to bleed over into a second page, but I still militantly go to that one page needs to be the KPIs. It's going to tell me it's hyper-relevant because it's the numbers that I most care about. It's what does impact my bonus, and it may generate questions because a KPI is moving in a bad direction.
So, you know, we require kind of by law when we're doing a build that once the KPIs have been defined, there needs to be one page of depth per KPI in terms of kind of one degree of abstraction in terms of a higher level of detail. A lot of times in retail, transactions or product revenue will be one of the KPIs that's chosen for performance because that's a given. And on that executive summary page, they'll want to see, you know, what is the trending in the performance on revenue, and how is that revenue comparing to our corporate forecast for the year? We will require one page underneath that, and that's really where you start to get interesting. We will not do 2 pages of depth. So we'll never have a dashboard that has more pages in terms of secondary pages than there are KPIs on page 1, right? So some customers in retail really care about gross margin. Like if you're selling TVs and computers online, you're making 3 points on a sale. Margin is very, very important. So the secondary page might be, you know, units per order and products broken down by gross margin.
So I don't think we're, and maybe it purely comes down to semantics. So I have a allergic reaction to executive summary because it's ambiguous as to whether or not it's for the executives. And if we've said hyper-relevant and this is a dashboard that's going to the e-commerce team, the director of e-commerce or the manager of e-commerce who's not necessarily an exec, to me, what you described as your executive summary, that is the dashboard. Now, you just happen to package that dashboard with one finite level of drill down, and I absolutely have the exact same thing with clients where there's one page and there is a drill down, but I always frame that drill down as being the place to start. It's two things. It's reference. I just always want to see this list or these other couple of metrics, but I agree. Like it's almost a compromise I can live with. We agree that it's not a KPI, but you, the business owner, wants to have it. I will shove it on that second page in some way that makes organized sense. The second is, as a person getting the dashboard, I see something that has moved that is not where I want it to be, I don't want to have nothing else. Just all I have is one fact that this KPI is not where I want it to be. I do want to be able to do kind of an initial quick drill down. And the better I understand my business, the more I understand, like if I'm really watching margin, then I know that if margin goes out of whack, I want to see my lowest margin products by volume. And I'm always going to want to have that on a supporting page. But that is actually, to me, supporting an ad hoc analysis. You're just taking a guess at what data is most likely the first thing you're going to want to look at. A channel breakdown, a product breakdown, a page breakdown. And you kind of package that up. But that, to me, that's not part of the dashboard. That is, it may be packaged in with the dashboard. It's accessible from the dashboard. But it's there for a first cut analysis of what's causing the KPIs to move.
But it's standardized, it's relevant, it's tied to KPIs, it's tied to performance, it's just one level of detail underneath the primary KPI. So, you know, I think executive summary actually means Cole's notes of reporting.
Means what?
It's the Cole's notes of the reporting. It is the short version. You know, so here are the three numbers I care about.
Hey, Jim, here in the United States, those are the Cliff Notes.
Cliff Notes? Okay.
Good. Cole is his Canadian cousin. He's from New Brunswick.
Yeah. Cliff and Cole. I think they were on Cheers together, maybe.
So then the Cliff's Notes is the executive summary page. And you're going to look at that page and you're going to go, because again, you know, I'm a senior decision maker. Visits, good. We nailed it. We hit my number. Transactions were light. How come? You drill into the relevant to you detailed page, and that allows you to remove, like again, around hypothesis creation, go, not that, not that. Now I need my analyst to do bleh and ask you a very hyper-specific question that's very actionable. So for those of you just tuning in, I am about a minute away from getting Tim Wilson to agree that a dashboard should have multiple pages. Tim, your response.
So I'm going to break in there. I'm going to save Tim from having to change horses on that. We've talked a lot about KPI, and very quickly, I'd like us to define that for our audience, just so that as we've talked about it, we can just make sure that we are communicating that across. And I'll just assume agreement. Why don't you take that one, Tim?
So I will. So here's where I, and again, all of these things, I start with kind of a purist, and I try to march to the purist as far as I can, and then know that I have to kind of shade it. But to me, KPIs they hinge off of the two magic questions. Credit to Matt Cohen, who's the guy who taught me these. You start with what are we trying to achieve, and it depends on, it doesn't matter where you are in the organization. It's what are you trying to achieve? What are you the site owner? What are you the digital marketing executive? Call that your goal, your objective, whatever you want to call it. The KPIs are exactly how are we going to know if we're achieving that. And that means by almost, from a practical perspective, that means 2 to 5 measures with targets set that tie to that are we going to achieve. And that's it. There are tons of other metrics that are useful and interesting and are related to those, but it's nothing more than nothing more, nothing less than that.
I think the single hardest question that I ask when we're doing dashboard design is what is winning, which is similar to, you know, what are we trying to achieve? But, you know, I have to ask a lot of sneaky questions for KPI definition, but basically it's what are the heartbeat metrics that actually really, really matter that everything else is tied to, you know, because I mean, you got petabytes of data, but they should all roll up into 2 or 3 what winning looks like. And it's deceptively simple, and it's really hard to kind of get the right ones in place.
But if you define those, the KPIs as that, and so then I'll go to your other, your managing down and managing up. To me, if you've got your KPIs well, from a managing up, they're clear and intuitive, and it's a handful that you can go to your, you can always go to your manager and say, these are the 4 things that I'm trying, that's the opening to your conversation about data. Or if they ask how things are going, it's that set of KPIs because it's they're clear enough. They're not way down in the weeds. At the same time, managing down, you go to your team. the people who work for you, and you say, this is what we're trying to deliver. So it fits in that hyper-relevant mode, but it's a very, very finite list. But, and I think, and we joked about it last time, and you know, it drives us all nuts. It drives me nuts when somebody says, I predict there's a 40% chance that I will die from an aneurysm when somebody says the word key KPI to me. And you know, I'm a consultant, so I hope that doesn't happen when I'm on a client call, but I definitely die a little bit. And there are people in the industry who say the same thing, and it's like, you listen to yourself. That is utterly moronic. Like,
what are your KPI indicators?
They want to say every metric that I might want to look at or that is of interest and I might want to look at on a regular basis. Therefore, it's important. Therefore, it's key. And I've heard people actually say, well, you have KPIs and you have PIs. And I'm not sure I really like that. I like that either. But once people start saying, all right, KPI is looking at is visits by channel. And I'm like, no, like you're a channel breakdown. Maybe for somebody in the email channel, a KPI is conversions for email. But if you want to slice the KPI by channel, that's fine. But your KPI is not visits by channel or conversions by channel. It's wrong.
Well, and this goes back to one of the things we were talking about last time around requirement solicitation. And there are tricks to figure out what someone's KPIs are. You know, for example, again, what is winning? How do you get paid your bonus? I like asking, you know, if you got stuck in the elevator with the CEO for 30 seconds and he said, hey, I know you, how's it going? And you had 30 seconds, what would you talk about? Let's take the verbs and the nouns. There might be a KPI in there. You know, again, KPI is just kind of a really industry-specific way to say what does winning look like. We were doing dashboard design about a year ago for a large electronics company, and the VP of e-commerce loved all of my ideas. Like, what if we look at cost of sale? Love it. Put it on the front page. What if we look at, you know, this kind of performance, or channel performance, or lifetime value? Everything I said, he's like, wicked. Let's put it on the front page. So basically it turned into, can you replicate Omniture in Excel for me? So finally I said, you know, the CEO of your company is very famous. Does he ever walk by your office? And he said, oh, yeah, if the CEO ever comes near my office, I know that someone's about to get yelled at. And I was like, okay, well, what are you scared about getting yelled at for digital? And he said, oh, that's easy. This, this, and this. Like, great. There's our front page.
And so now, Jim, you understand why Tim wants to frame dashboards as something that needs to fit into one page.
Ooh! Yeah!
Oh, wow. There, we did it. All right. Now, on that, let's get some wrap-up. I think, you know, we didn't even cover everything that we'd planned to cover in this episode, but we're getting down to the wire here. And I really want to come back around, kind of have you to really think about the conversation we just had and maybe deliver kind of a, here's the three things or here's the thing that's key as an organization. Like, I feel like this is, if you can do this well, this will do more to drive your analytics sophistication than almost any other activity you can do in an organization. But why don't I have Jim, why don't I start with you?
Well, I'll just start. I hadn't thought about it that way, Michael, but if you can get a good dashboard in front of somebody, then you have mastered requirement solicitation, data cleanliness, deployment management, advanced Excel. So you're dead right. If you're at the point where you're putting good dashboards in front of stakeholders, you're doing all right. I think the big takeaways for me is that, you know, a good dashboard, again, needs to be hyper-relevant to the consumer of the report. I think that it needs to be something that's designed to remove simple questions but allow for the creation of sophisticated questions that are relevant to that stakeholder. And I think, and we didn't touch on this today, but I actually think a good dashboard is a living document. So, you know, if it becomes something that's set it and forget it and we can't change a single thing on it, given the evolution, like I have kids older than Twitter, you know what I mean? If I had a dashboard that was 6 years old or 7 years old, social wouldn't have the prominence it might need to have. So a dashboard needs to be a living, breathing thing in order to remain relevant and provide that kind of decision support. I think those would be my big takeaways. Also, multiple pages.
So I want to. My rap will start off by saying, Jim, you ignorant slut. One page. So, actually, that last part of the living, I am hoping you'd qualify that a little bit. I agree that they need to change, but I also think they need to be. They need to evolve with extreme, like, deliberation and prejudice. That the dashboard, or call it the first page of your dashboard, or what I would call a dashboard, those, what the business is trying to do, should not be shifting that much. So when I see evolution, it's a little bit more of what's the other kind of supporting stuff that we thought might be useful that we kind of get tacked into it. And it's only when we say, yes, we have shifted, you know, what we're trying to achieve, that we'll say, yes, we're introducing a new KPI. But I agree that happens. You think you've got four KPIs and you realize that one of them is totally secondary and you want to pull that off, but something else is something you always go to look at. So I'll agree on that. But I
agree with you, by the way. Okay. The executive summary, or the dashboard page, as you would call it. yeah, I mean, that's something you don't tinker with too much.
So my quick ones, I think, I mean, I really like some of the lists Jim had. I think the hyper relevant, I think, is a great word to use, and I think that you get to hyper relevance by being really clear on your audiences. And so I find myself doing that in planning when somebody says, we want you to do a dashboard, and I'm like, okay, let's talk about who's getting it. And if you start saying it's for IT and it's for sales and it's for marketing, then it can't be hyper relevant to all of those. So part of that early kind of requirements gathering step is, who is the dashboard for? And it's better to have multiple dashboards for different audiences. Not everybody gets the same six dashboards, because then you've just cheated on the one page. The second thing for me would be being really, really clear that you're just measuring performance. That's, that first page is really around, are we delivering what we expected to deliver? And then the thing that we didn't really touch on at all, but I think all three of us, although we started off with Stephen Few, is actually designing it really, really well. It's not just, you know, barfing the KPIs onto a page and forcing them to fit. Applying some level of structure and organization and data visualization best practices. Otherwise, that whole at-a-glance goal, it's going to be undermined. It could be one page, and you can't read it at a glance if it's not actually really, really well designed.
Oh, great takeaways. I think my takeaway is that there's almost no time when a pie chart is acceptable on a dashboard. Yeah, that's what
I disagree. There is no time that a pie chart is
acceptable. Oh, well, okay, there you go. So there you have fireworks, folks. No. So yeah, I think, like you said, we started off talking about Stephen Few and the definition, but yeah, there's actually a few topical areas we didn't get to cover, and so, you know, a little inside baseball for the listener, we actually had all these topics kind of fleshed out, and we tried to cover it in one show. It looks like our attempt to do that is futile. So we will cover dashboards again at a future date, I'm almost positive. Well, I want to thank you guys, Jim and Tim, for this conversation. I think it's very useful.
I do feel like Jim and I kind of came together a little bit today, that maybe we're not as, when we sit down and talk about it, maybe we're not as far apart as we thought.
I have a tremendous amount of respect, Tim, for anybody who's able to just sit up straight and own it and say, I was wrong and Jim was right. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. And, you know, I'll send you some Cole's notes to look over on.
You know, we have a Facebook page, and we'd love to hear your comments and questions, other topics you'd like to see us cover. All right. And this is the Digital Analytics Power Hour.
Cheers.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook or Twitter. We welcome your comments and questions. Facebook.com/analytics hour or @analytics hour on Twitter.